was the last time you came upon someone walking down the road with a gas can and thought, good for you. Good for you. Ran out of gas, didn't you? Lucky guy. Now he has to walk, carry that flimsy gas can in dangerous situations just to get a little gas back into his vehicle so he can get to wherever he's going. Such a lucky, prudent individual. You don't think this, of course. We don't, because we don't like to be in those situations. We don't like to be in a situation where we run out, where we are deficient, where we have exhausted our resources, where we have to get out of our car and walk just to get a little bit more. It's not a good place to be, or at least not in our sensibilities. And yet our gospel today invites us right there into that moment when these individuals there at this wedding party, a time of celebration, of great coming together of individuals, a time of fruitfulness and faithfulness, that they've run out of wine. This event in salvation history, while it seems like a small reality, just a little wedding party in the region of Galilee, no big deal really. Sure, they got a little bit of nice wine, but really, what does it have to do with the rest of the story? This is one of those stories that helps us to see how multi-layered, how multifaceted Scripture can be. So many aspects of this story that help to flesh out everything that's going on. And we recognize from the prophet Isaiah that the wedding of a man and a woman coming together in those sacred bonds of matrimony is a reality that God desires to enter into with his people. This is something I've spoken to you time and again about, that God desires to marry us, that we are the church, we are the bride of Christ, and God desires to have a wedding feast just like this one that we encounter here in the Gospel of John, except for an eternity. The water, the wine, the good time just flowing out for all eternity. If you've seen The Chosen, the TV series or the series on what has its own app, but I've talked about that as well. If you've seen it and if I've convinced you to go check that out, then thank you for listening to me go on about it. I love it. I absolutely love it. It is a series that follows the disciples, the chosen ones of Jesus. And in season one, we encounter the wedding feast at Cana. And of course, being a series, they have a certain amount of creative license. And so I'm not telling you this is real, but it's an interesting idea. The idea is that Thomas, doubting Thomas, that called Didymus the twin, the apostle, he went to India, that guy, he's actually the guy who brought the wine to the party. I mean, just imagine what it would have been like for whoever that was to know that it was his responsibility to bring enough wine, even if they didn't tell him the number of people correctly, because that's what happened in the series, is they underestimated the number of people that were coming to the wedding. Of course, well, Jesus shows up with all of his friends, and so he's part of the problem. But Thomas is there with his girlfriend, and her name's Rama, and they're responsible. They're the ones who brought the food and everything, the wine for the party, and, well, he's in quite a bind. They don't know what to do. They're in that position where they are the ones that might end up walking down the street looking for a little extra gas. They don't know what to do. And ultimately, Mary comes to Jesus like she does in the gospel and tells him, you have to do something. He says, woman, it's not my time yet. I'll get back to that in a moment. And then she says, if not now, when? If not now, when? It's not something we hear in the gospel, but that takes us back to a flashback when Jesus in the temple when he was 12 years old. And Mary says to the young Jesus in this series, why have you caused us all of this anxiety? And Jesus says, well, did you not know I would be in my Father's house, like we have heard before? But then he also adds, if not now, when? He says, Mary says, I didn't expect it to start so soon. If not now, when? So that adds a little extra bit that brings in both St. Thomas and the finding of Jesus in the temple. But there's more. When Jesus calls his mother woman, he's not being disrespectful. Like, woman, I don't care about your wine. Go give me a beer. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying at all. If we recognize it in the Garden of Eden, we bring that layer in. In the Garden of Eden, Adam only calls Eve, Eve, after the fall, after sin, after death. Her name becomes Eve. Before that, he simply is woman. When Jesus calls Mary woman at this great gathering of fertility and faithfulness and fullness of love together, he is hearkening back to the garden before the fall. The time is now. He already knows. But he knows that once we start walking down that path, it's going to lend itself to the cross, which brings that layer in. That's when Jesus also calls Mary woman another time. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. That at that time, he's recognizing that his blood poured out on the cross is the salvation for the world. This wine that is there at this wedding feast, gallon, the best wine that this head waiter has ever tasted, is a precursor to his blood he shed on the cross. Another couple of layers. For the longest time in church history, when we talked about the Epiphany, we not only talked about the arrival of the wise men at Bethlehem, we also talked about the baptism of Christ, what we celebrated last week, and the wedding feast of Cana. It was those three realities that we celebrated at the Feast of the Epiphany, a manifestation of Christ. Those who had eyes to see this great outpouring of wine knew that salvation was at hand in the outpouring of his blood on the cross. It is a great epiphany for us in our lives. The takeaway is that when we feel like we have lost everything, when we have run dry, when we have run out, when we are walking on that road, that path of shame in our lives, that God is still working. It may feel like we're on the cross. St. Paul, in his letter today, speaks of the many gifts and graces that are poured out. When we let go of what it is that we think we're supposed to do, what we think we're supposed to achieve, what we think we're supposed to bring, and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we are able to live our part, our layer, in this beautiful story. Let us receive from the Holy Spirit today the gifts, the abundant gifts and graces that they desire to pour out upon us.